September 12th, 2005, item number 86. Today's guest is Tim Henson from the Distorted View Daily. This is a retro show.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. On today's show, our guest is Tim Henson. However, this is not a new interview. The interview part of today's show will be a replaying of my interview from Tim Henson from back in early January of 2005. A couple reasons I wanted to do this. One, because Tim mentioned on his show that he doesn't do interviews anymore because he feels like he sounds like a tool, and this is my way of letting everybody out there know what kind of a tool Tim sounds like. But more importantly, I've mentioned on the show numerous times that you need to wait until your fourth or fifth show before you start promoting your show, that your earlier shows aren't going to sound as good, that there is a learning curve, don't expect to come out of the box sounding good. And this is a way for you to hear what the sound quality was like on one of my early interviews. Now, you might not notice how bad Tim Henson's voice is distorted, but it is pitch shift, and that is something that happened when recording in GarageBand. If you record in GarageBand while trying to communicate on iChat or Skype, you will get a pitch shift in your voice on the Mac platform. Before we get into the interview, though, I do want to play a tech tip from Kevin, and he's going to talk about CC Publisher. He doesn't mention it in the tech tip, but this program is both for Windows and Mac, so pay attention. Here's a tech tip from Kevin. Here we go.
Hey, Rob. This is Kevin from FirstPersonShow.net. I've got a tech tip for your listeners. It's about a program which folks can use to make uploading their podcasts to archive.org easier. If you haven't heard of archive.org, it's a website which hosts media files, movies, sound files, podcasts for free, and their aim is to keep files permanently. So if you're running a podcast on a shoestring, like I am, if you're looking for the least expensive ways or anything free to use for your podcasting, things like Audacity, open source that you can download and use, then check out CC Publisher. It's CC for Creative Commons Publisher. You can just Google CC space Publisher to find the program, and you can use it to upload your podcast to archive.org and use their free web space. That's what I do with my podcast. I also host a copy of my MP3 on my own paid web hosting, which is picked up by the RSS feed. But when people go to the website and manually download the show, they then get the one that's on archive.org. That gives me an easy way to tell my stats how much of the downloads are from RSS feed and which of them are from people going to the website. So, Rob, I like your show. I like listening to the podcasting news. I always enjoy you and your guests geeking out, as some people say, as well as the new podcast that I discover by listening to your show. As a regular and loyal listener, I always enjoy hearing little bits of your own news of what's going on with you and your family. So really appreciate the show, and I appreciate all the technical resources. Your website was the one that I used to get my podcast going. Thanks a lot. That's Kevin Cade from FirstPersonShow.net. Bye then.
Kevin, thank you for the tech tip. And for those of you out there, please check out Kevin's podcast, the First Person Show podcast. We'll have a link for it in the show notes. And show notes, as always, can be found at podcast411.com. If you have a tech tip or rant you'd like to share with listeners, please send those via email or a link to them to podcast411@gmail.com. And in the title, put tech tip. And I'll make sure we get them on the show here. Kevin, in his tech tip, said he likes to hear more things about my personal life and recently haven't said much. Just to give you a quick update, we have closed on a new house. I'm actually in the transition period, moving from the apartment we were in temporarily to the house. We should be in there in the next 2 weeks, so we're looking forward to that. And today also marks my wife's 12 weeks into the pregnancy, so tomorrow we go to the doctor and supposedly you're going to get to hear a heartbeat. I will try to keep baby stories to an absolute minimum. Why don't we go ahead now and play the interview I did with Tim Henson from the Distorted View Daily back in January, and you get to really hear a difference between how my voice sounds because of changes in microphones and the recording and the quality of the interviews. It's changed quite a bit since that point in time. I do explain at the beginning of how I was recording it, so we're going to go ahead and get into it right now. Here we go. Before we get into the interview, I want to just talk a little bit about how I put together this show. what we did to record and what hardware and software was used. The interview was done via iChat, and it was recorded directly into GarageBand with the help of SoundFlower and SoundFlower Bed. Now we're going to go ahead and get right to the interview. I'm going to welcome Tim to the show. I'm going to start it off with some questions. Here we go. Okay, first question, Tim.
Sure.
What was your first computer?
First computer was a Commodore 64 with a 1541 disk drive and a data set add-on.
Do you still have it?
No. My father took it away when I signed up for a America Online had a service on Commodore 64s called Q-Link, and I used his credit card to sign up for it, not realizing that it was A, calling long distance, and B, charging my father's credit card whenever I downloaded anything. So after a $500 credit card bill and a $300 phone bill, the computer was taken away from me.
I can understand that, and it's a reasonable response. I probably would have got shot.
Yeah.
What was the first BBS website you ever visited?
It was called Lighthouse. Lighthouse BBS, and it had 4 lines, so you could talk with other people. And I was such a nerd that I was so into BBS that I created my own using some free software. And I'd use my home line, my parents' home line, and I set it up so it was a late-night bulletin board system from, like, 10 at night until, like, 6 in the morning. So I'd have to, every night, I'd have to turn off my parents' phone ringers down so they wouldn't hear the phone ring at all hours of the night. To this day, I still get people still call my parents' house and they just hear the shrieking noise of a modem trying to connect.
What was the name of it?
It was called the End BBS, and there really wasn't too much. They had some free games that bulletin board owners could set up, and it was only one line, but it was my first real geek out type thing where I was a complete nerd.
What I can see right now is some 12, 13 year olds with their iPod downloading this program. And they're going, what's a BBS?
Exactly, yeah. Are there any BBSs left?
I've got to imagine there's a few of them out there.
I remember towards the end of our bulletin board's life, there used to be Computer Shopper. Do you know the magazine Computer Shopper? It used to be a huge...
Huge
magazine, 400 pages or something. They'd list all the bulletin boards for all the states and everything. But I remember towards the end, I'd call a bulletin board and pretty much was just a porn clearinghouse. It was just really for downloading porn. And that's pretty much, that evolved into the internet.
I won't comment on whether I ever used a BBS for downloading porn.
All right, plead the fifth on that.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
So I think the first one was Adam Curry's podcast.
Now, you said on one of your podcasts that you've been doing it since 2000?
Yeah. Actually, the Store Review has been around since 1997 in various formats. I started it as an online radio thing back in 1997, streaming audio using the Real Player. Me and my friend would just sort of sit around and talk for an hour, record it, and then post it on the my free web space for my internet service provider and hope someone would listen to it. But in 2000, someone from a company called Real Talk, it was an internet broadcasting network, heard it. Got in contact with us and hired us to do Distorted View in Texas. So we moved down to Texas in 2000, and that lasted about a month before they went bankrupt. I like to think Distorted View is the kiss of death.
So one of the first .com implosions you were involved with.
Yeah, exactly. One of many.
Now, you mentioned something also on one of your podcasts about Sirius.
Yeah, what happened was in 2000, after the Real Talk disaster, they started doing a daily short, 5-minute, the type of podcast I do now, basically. But I was doing it for on a service called Tell Me. And if you ever call like FedEx or, you know, American Airlines for lost baggage or something, instead of pressing numbers, you can actually speak what you want to do. Like, you know, instead of pressing 1 for a package pickup, you'd say, you know, I need a package pickup, or I'm in Columbus, and the, you know, telephone will recognize what you're saying. Tell me, does that? That's their technology. And so they have a 1-800 number set up where you can, you know, listen to news, stock quotes, all that kind of crap. And so I did a 5-minute show on there. And so then from there, I started sending out stuff, some of my little stupid comedy bits or whatever, to Sirius and XM Radio. I did a 3-hour sample show for XM, and that went nowhere. And then Sirius contacted me, offering me a position to do a talk radio show. And when that fell through, they had me produce a morning talk radio show for another guy.
Outside of podcasting, what's your full-time job then?
Right now, I'm doing a whole hell of a lot of nothing. I work at it's an office job. The only thing good about that is that the boss kind of lets me just sort of not work. I just sort of can sit in the corner, and occasionally I'll have to do something, but most of the time I just sit and goof around with my friends, and we come up with these short film ideas that are up at distortedview.com. I've been getting into video editing and stuff, so that's what I've been doing.
When you're doing your podcast, what hardware do you use to put your podcast together?
I come from the school of thought that content is king, and the setup necessarily doesn't really matter. I'm using back in 1997 when I started Distorted View, I bought from my friend, it was a $20 Radio Shack audio mixer. It looks like it came from like the Reagan administration or something, but so I'm still using that. It's an awful little stereo mixer, but I haven't upgraded that. I use a Sennheiser microphone I stole from Real Talk. It's basically that's basically all I use, and I use audio, just Gold Wave. It's a free audio editing program to record the show.
Do you have a typical length you try for each podcast?
I try to hit five minutes at least. So, you know, 3 or 4 News of the Weird stories usually will hit that 5-minute mark. The longest show, I think, hit like 15 minutes or something. But, yeah, I try to hit at least 5 minutes. I think Adam Curry once said he likes shorter podcasts, and I have to agree. I mean, listening to a 2-hour podcast is fine, but to keep it short and keep it moving, I think, you know, people who use iPod are typically used to, you know, 5-minute songs or 3-minute songs or whatever. So I think to keep it fast and moving, I think listeners respond to that.
When this is all edited, it'll be down under 15, closer to 10 minutes.
Excellent. I don't want a 2-hour interview.
I just go through the questions, and I let my wife pick the ones that she likes.
Yeah, pick good ones. I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Well, that concludes our interview with Tim at thedistortedview.com. Now, Tim didn't sound like an idiot, but if you want to hear news and stories about idiots and the stupid things they do or the weird things they do, go ahead and check out distortedview.com.
Well, folks, that concludes the interview I did with Tim back in January. Tim, thanks for being a good sport and agreeing to let me put that back up again on the feed. If you haven't checked out the Distorted View Daily podcast and you're into the news of the weird, Tim does the best job on telling the news of the weird. It is definitely an adult-rated show, not kid-safe, not even mostly adult-safe. Please check out Tim's show, and there'll be a link in the show notes. Previously, I asked for feedback on stories you had trying to explain or sharing podcasting with other people that didn't know about it, and we're going to go ahead and play a clip here that Chad from podcastrant.com sent in. Here we go.
Hey, this is Chad from podcastrant.com, and I wanted to share with your listeners the hardest thing I've had, the most trouble I've had in explaining to people that don't understand what podcasts are, you know, trying to explain it to them. And the funniest story I have is that I was real excited. I got my first podcast up, and I work in a place of about 50 people, and I was letting a bunch of people hear it, and, you know, I was getting good feedback. And this one lady walked in, and she was you know, there were some people gathered around. They were listening. She's like, "Oh, that sounds cool. What is that?" And then, you know, I told her, "Hey, that's my show. It's a little podcast." And I was explaining it to her, and she said, "So, why do you do it? Do you get paid for it, or is it just for fun?" And I said, "Oh, no, it's just for fun." And she goes, "Oh." And the look on her face was like, "You're the biggest loser I've ever seen in my life." And so all that morning of excitement and everybody congratulating me and stuff and saying it was pretty cool, for, you know, a good 20, 30 seconds, I felt like the biggest loser. So that's the main difficulty I've had in explaining what podcasts are.
Chad, thanks for phoning that one in. If you out there have some funny stories that you'd like to share, you can phone in your comments to 206-666-HELP. That's 206-666-4357. And, you know, feel free to leave your comments that way. If you'd like, you can also record them and send them to me in pretty much any format to podcast411@gmail.com. At the end of the show today, we're going to go ahead and play a promo from the Cloudy Day Arts podcast, so please stick around and listen to that. And I think that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for participating in this retrocast. I really wanted to just point out how much your sound quality is going to improve. If you're just starting now, stick with it, and remember, do not promote your show when it's your first show. Wait till your fifth or your tenth. Well, this is Rob from Podcast 411, as always, reminding you to listen different.
Hey, this is Will from CloudyDayArt.com, where poetry inspires life. What's your inspiration?
Music comes to me in daydreams and sometimes even in dreams.
The Lord himself is a lot of inspiration when I'm having times with him.
Most of mine are from past relationships.
Right. So a lot of happy poems then.
Sure, yeah, okay.
I always tell people I just give a voice to those feelings that are very weird inside of us.
CloudyDayArt.com seeks to inspire and be inspired by you, the everyday poet. By you, the undercover poet, scribbling a quick poem on a dirty napkin because you simply must let it out. You can find out more about us at www.cloudydayart.com, or you can subscribe to us at feeds.feedburner.com/cloudydayart. Cloudy Day Art. What's your inspiration?